Good morning and welcome to today's webinar. As most of you already know, a critical SAP zero-day vulnerability ranked CVSS-10 is currently being actively exploited in the wild. Today's conversation will focus on the latest intelligence on this exploitation. My name is Leah and I'll be managing today's session. Before we get started, I have some housekeeping notes. First, I want to point out the questions module within the ON24 platform. If you have questions, please enter them at any point during the presentation, and if time allows, we will answer whatever questions we can at the end of the session. You can always adjust the size of the media player on your end to make it bigger or smaller, depending on your preference. And finally, please note that this webinar is being recorded and a link will be sent to you. Now I'm going to pass it over to our presenters who will offer insights from ongoing research and incident response investigations. With us today are JP Perez, Chief Technology Officer at Onapsis, and Paige Godwin, Incident Response Consultant at Mandiant. We're also joined by David DePriel, VP of Product Marketing at Onapsis. David will be moderating the questions that come in and a Q&A portion of today's session. And with that, there's a lot of ground to cover, so I'll hand it over to JP, who will kick us off.
Awesome. Thanks, Leah. Thank you all for joining. I'm sure you're eager to learn about the latest vulnerability that has been patched and is being actively exploited and get insights from both Onapsis as well as Mandiant. So we have a lot of content, as Leah was saying. We basically structured this session highlighting the most relevant topics, on providing an executive summary, jumping straight into the vulnerability, talking about the details of this vulnerability, what it means, how it's being actively exploited, what are the details of the exploitation techniques. We'll go into the incident responses. Paige will provide some of the details and insights of what Mandiant has been seeing in the wild. And we'll touch base on the open source tools that Onapsis and Mandiant have been releasing, helping organizations identifying potentially vulnerable systems, potentially compromised systems, and helping with the compromise assessment, right? Gathering information, identifying specific assets and IOCs on the systems. And we'll close with some recommendations and next steps that you can take back to your organizations to act on and make sure that your systems validate if your systems have been affected or not. And I'll do a quick intro. For those of you who are not familiar with Onapsis, we focus on cybersecurity for ERP applications with a strong focus on SAP. We have been out there for over 15 years helping organizations secure their ERP environments. We help with certs, with organizations raising awareness about critical vulnerabilities, critical threat activity on affecting ERP applications, affecting SAP applications. We've reported over 1,000 vulnerabilities to SAP and Oracle, basically vulnerabilities affecting their business critical applications, ultimately coming back with a patch and making those applications more secure across the board, right? So that's something I'm very proud of, is our research labs is not only contributing to our own customers, Onapsis customers, but it's also contributing to SAP Oracle customers, making those applications safer continuously, right? We have a very continuous flow of information with the product security response at SAP, for example. And we maintain this knowledge base of threats, vulnerabilities, risks, mitigations, improvements in our platform, and we automate all of that, so we deliver that to our customers. As for myself, I'm JP, CTO and co-founder of Onapsis. I've been doing cybersecurity for ERP applications for over 15 years. And before that, with the other co-founders, we've been doing that for quite some time. I've been reporting vulnerabilities. Part of these 1,000 plus vulnerabilities have been reported by myself when I was doing research as well. And I've been training and presenting at multiple security conferences, organizations, basically teaching and helping organizations understand what they need to do to secure their ERP applications. With that, I'll pass it over to Paige for her intro.
Hi all, my name is Paige Godvin. I'm an incident response consultant with Mandiant. A little bit about Mandiant Consulting. We've been part of Google Cloud since 2022, but before that, we've been an industry leader in incident response and intelligence, in addition to other consulting services, since 2004. So we're widely known for the depth and impressive coverage of our intelligence in particular, and collaborating with industry partners, both public and private. This translates into us being trusted by over 3/4 of the Fortune 100. So a lot of the biggest breaches that you've seen in the news from a day-to-day basis, Mandiant has probably had their hand in, whether or not it's public. A little bit about me. I've been working at Mandiant since 2021, so right before that acquisition. I've specialized in cloud forensics and IR and have some certifications around that specifically. And I also am very involved with the education at Mandiant and our external facing education. So I teach Windows, Linux, enterprise incident response, and I also do our live threat simulation known as ThreatSpace. So yes, definitely have a little bit of experience in this area, including in this particular CVE that we're going to dive into today.
Excellent. Thank you, Paige. And I'm honored to have you here joining us on this webinar and providing your insights, which are super valuable to the audience. So, okay, let's jump into the highlights, what we're here for, what we're going to be covering, but more from a summary, high level. There's been a zero-day vulnerability, which is now patched. There's a patch for this. This zero-day is a CVSS-10. That's as critical as it can get. This vulnerability allows anyone without any type of credentials remotely to completely compromise the target application. The activity that we saw started in January 2025, started as a proving, identifying vulnerable systems, identifying the exposed components, and active exploitation has been confirmed and detected over March 2025. That's the period that we were able to see organizations being compromised by the active use of this vulnerability. The first public basically reference on this vulnerability was published on April 22nd by ReliaQuest. This was a very extensive blog highlighting their contribution and their experience handling this vulnerability, this zero day. Actually, back then, it wasn't known if it was a zero day or threat actors exploiting an old vulnerability, which is now confirmed to be a new vulnerability, and releasing 2 days after that, SAP releasing the patch fairly quickly and in response to this vulnerability, tagging this vulnerability as a new one, CVE-2025-31324, and after that, releasing periodic updates on the patches, releasing new support package patch levels, covering even beyond what's currently supported from SAP. So very quick turnaround from a public disclosure to patch of 2 days. From our side, we continuously monitor the threat landscape. We have multiple sources of input, analyzing all of them periodically to identify new threats, to identify what threat actors are doing. Because of that, we're able to reconstruct the exploitation of this vulnerability from a zero day, from the actual attacker campaign. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that as well. The Google Threat Intel group has identified several active exploits related to this vulnerability. And attackers have been largely leveraging this vulnerability to deploy web shells. Right? And there's been many IOCs related to this, name of web shells, different type of web shells. But for the most part, the threat actor that has been active on this vulnerability has been using this vulnerability to deploy these web shells. It's of course, we're going to be talking about recommendations. We're going to be talking about the need for applying the existing patches, if not possible, the need for applying the existing mitigations that are well documented, and check those systems. If there's been activity around these potentially malicious URL that was used to potentially compromise the systems, well, it's important to go ahead and check the systems, make sure that those systems were not compromised, and that you can rely on those systems to be operational again, right? It's that part is very, very important because of some of the aspects that we're going to be covering today. Well, let's jump straight into the vulnerability. The vulnerability, we know the CVE, it's a vulnerability affecting a specific component on SAP Neuguir Java systems. This is called Visual Composer. It's one of those components that you can actually install when you install an SAP Neuguir Java. You have many options like Portal and Neuguir Development Infrastructure and many others. So when you choose for that, you can actually install Visual Composer and you can install it afterwards as well. So it's not installed by default, but we have seen this widely deployed because it's a key development component. We have seen this deployed not only on development systems, but everywhere, right? Like also on QA and production systems, even if it's not being used, it's still there and was also being used to compromise those systems as well. The vulnerability class, we're gonna be talking about it. It's has been initially marked as an arbitrary file upload with the patch release date on April 24th. And there are three nodes that we'll get into the details of these, an SAP security node, an FAQ, and also a knowledge base article providing different types of information for bases and defenders to be able to go into those systems and check. Some additional interesting facts. Well, I mentioned CVSS 10, that's as bad as it can get, but it's also been recently added to the KEV, Catalog of Known Exploited Vulnerabilities from CISA, that is telling us that this is actively being exploited and organizations need to react to this. So not only government agencies, but also for the most part, organizations follow that Catalog of Known Exploited Vulnerabilities as a guidance to, hey, this is something we need to react very quickly. And from our research and the latest insights we have been able to obtain, we were able to identify, as I mentioned, a fully reconstructed working exploit. And because of that, there are a couple of things that we need to be aware of. Well, it doesn't change the criticality. It's still a CVSS 10 vulnerability. It doesn't change the protocol that is used to exploit the vulnerability, right? Still an HTTP or HTTPS exploitable, remotely exploitable vulnerability. Doesn't change the URL. It's still development server / metadata uploader. So that's a URL used to exploit that vulnerability. However, it's important to understand that this vulnerability can be exploited over post, get, and head. We have seen this being exploited over post, but it's possible to be exploited over all those three verbs. Also, it's the impact of exploiting this vulnerability is not only file upload, but it's really remote command execution. So the vulnerability, an attacker exploiting the vulnerability is gonna be triggering a remote command execution to, as we saw in the campaign, to ultimately upload a web shell on the target systems, but through a remote command execution, not through a local file inclusion or a remote file inclusion vulnerability. The patch released is effective. Despite these changes, this is effective to prevent the observed exploitation in all cases. So we recommend organizations to go and apply those patches, right? Independently of if we treat this as a filing upload or a remote command execution, it's still effective to prevent in both cases. So again, go ahead and apply those patches whenever you can. If you have systems that are running on 7.50, that's the supported version of NetWeaver. And if you are on the support packages that are that we saw patch levels released for this, go ahead and apply those patches. That's very important. But where the aspect that we need to consider on these changes, considering this not as a remote file upload vulnerability, but a remote command execution vulnerability, is that the deploying of web shells is actually optional. It's not something they needed to do to get and compromise the system and execute commands. So that's important if we sit on the shoes of the defenders, understanding what happened with those systems. Well, those that exploitation could have been used to do anything on the system, because that exploitation ran as seed ADM. And what we have seen again is those threat actors deploying those web shells to ultimately execute commands through those web shells. But the leaving of the land scenario could have been possible because of this vulnerability, right? So again, doesn't change much the criticality, doesn't change much the response in terms of application of the patch, application of the mitigations, but it does change the hypothesis we use when we are doing the response and doing the analysis of the potentially affected systems. So in terms of the zero-day attacks, I mentioned we were able to capture and analyze real exploit samples. Through our threat intel network and our capabilities to identify what threat actors do on the systems that we have been using historically to generate and help raising awareness and generate CERT alerts and also updates to the CAB because of observations that we were able to obtain. In this case, we observed this exploit being used to fully remote command execution, right? Not a file upload, but a RCE, unauthenticated, that doesn't change. And the RCE was used as a reconnaissance to then deploy web shells. That's our thesis behind this. The exploits that are publicly available, and this is very important. We have seen a lot of GitHub repositories, many publications providing, showing POCs and showing examples. Well, those are wrong, right? Those showing the exploitation as upload, as a file upload, using it as a MIME multipart upload through a post, including the content of the file as a post data. That's not how the application works. Those POCs most likely were never tested and never validated on a real SAP system. So those are not correct. Still important to navigate through, be able to navigate through all of that information and identify what's right from what's wrong. And we believe that those are potentially misleading defenders towards doing certain searches and certain analyses, whereas the actual vulnerability was a remote command execution. We have observed that the exploit demonstrates highly advanced knowledge of SAP, right? So this is not a publicly available exploit. This is not something that was derived from a publicly available exploit. This was customly built and developed by a threat actor to target these SAP applications. And this demonstrates a highly advanced knowledge of SAP to be able to build this, right? That's another of the observations we got from dissecting and analyzing the real exploit we were able to obtain. And in continuing with this dissection of CVE 2025-31324, again, exploitable over HTTP, over HTTPS, remotely, no authentication. Anyone just being able to send packets or send HTTP requests to the vulnerable URL, able to exploit this vulnerability. It's important to understand that we are talking about not just any zero day, not just yet another vulnerability. We're talking about vulnerabilities affecting SAP applications. We, as organizations, invest a lot of time and efforts and resources to ensure that whoever is able to access this application can only do whatever actions they need to do to make their job, right? To fulfill their job. And that follows a very thorough role design process, SOD, making sure that there are no conflicting roles and people cannot do conflicting actions. And that's true across the board for all SAP applications. And that's what our auditors also help us validate periodically, I would say at least yearly, for all of the audits, internal and external, that we follow. So this type of vulnerabilities completely bypasses any of that, because anyone can do anything on the system. Right? Create a user, access database, do anything they want because of this broad level of access that is achieved through this vulnerability. And in terms of the captured payloads, we basically saw different type of payloads. One, a simple payload basically aimed to reveal the path of the system. We believe that that was used to ultimately deploy the web shells, because that's part of the information you need to understand the seed, the instance. So ultimately placing the web shells on the right path. And then a full RCE exploit that could execute any type of commands. For example, who am I, ID, and basically leaving off the land, compromise is possible by this this exploit. So the assumption here is that attackers leverage this RCE to ultimately upload the web shells for persistence on the systems. Again, those it's important to see those two type of payloads. We have seen a lot of activity around that on the timeframes that were mentioned, but we're going to be discussing a little bit of the time frame in later slides. So, timeline-wise, there are a lot of milestones that we can highlight on this campaign that are relevant from a defender perspective, from an incident responder perspective, but also from a research perspective to understand this campaign. The first public report started in April 22nd. ReliQuest publishing a blog post discussing some of the findings. Still wasn't clear, is this a zero day? Is this a new vulnerability? Is this a local file inclusion? A lot of questions left unanswered on that publication. 2 days later, SAP promptly released the patch for this. We started seeing organizations acting on this soon after that, right? We got in touch with a lot of organizations. We actually did a webinar after the patch was published, urging organizations to apply the patches, and we saw a good response out of that. We saw very quickly organizations starting to react, which is good, because that's what we want to get, organizations to apply the patches or mitigations, do anything that is at their power to prevent exploitation of this vulnerability. But then when we started looking at the data that we had and really the data that we were able to obtain by working with some organizations, we saw January 20th as the first milestone in terms of activity around this vulnerability. Not exploitation, not active exploitation, but we saw proofs testing for the vulnerable component and highlighting these data points that we were discussing, like the seed, like the path, internal information from the systems. And early April, we heard about the first organization starting detecting files in their systems involving incident responders into this process. But then also incident response activities linked to this COD further confirmed March 12th, as reported by the Google Threat Intel Group, March 12th of the first confirmed known exploitation. We have seen many dates that then also were basically saw the same dates on different organizations. So this broad campaign affected multiple organizations on very, very similar dates, March 12th, March 14th, March 18th, March 28th, and March 31st, as relevant dates where we saw activity on the systems. But then it could be other dates as well. It's important to highlight March was basically an intersection across the board for many of these organizations. So this campaign seems to be triggered during the month of March in very specific dates. Then April 8th, there was a knowledge base article released by SAP because of organizations started to identify these files being created, which later were confirmed to be web shells, providing guidance on what to do on those files and providing workarounds to prevent the exploitation of this vulnerability, which later were was backed by April 24th released patch. And last but not least, after April 26th, up until today, we started seeing mass exploitation, basically opportunistic attackers leveraging existing web shells and proving for the vulnerabilities, for the most part with exploits that didn't work, and trying to leverage what's out there on GitHub, on different repositories, but a lot of activity around this URL, and even malicious activity leveraging the web shells to deploy crypto miners and do other things. And we've seen also public references to it, blogs of other responses to incidents based on this mass activity, right? But that happened after the patch was available and the news broke. In many cases, we've seen organizations reacting very quickly, applying the patches timely, and actively actually preventing all of these additional activity that happened after April 26. So what is the impact to our organizations? Again, remember, we're not just talking about yet another CDO day, yet another vulnerability. It is a vulnerability in our SAP applications. So this allowed unauthenticated attackers to access our SAP applications, bypassing existing SOD and access controls, and also potentially leaving no trace of activity. The exploitation itself left little trace on the activity. It could be exploited by internal or external, so very, very hard to follow up in terms of what happened on the systems. What could have happened in those affected systems? Well, pretty much anything, and we can highlight some of the things that we have seen happening on SAP applications in the past. For example, deploying ransomware, accessing personally identifiable information, PII, sorry, access business data, potentially modifying it, modifying financial records, which has a huge impact to our organization from an audit perspective, as well as the PII and all of that related information as well. Logs, traces, any information that is generated on the system that could yield some information about what happened, well, that could have been modified as well. And in many cases, that those logs and traces also rotate, especially if the system is a very noisy one. We could be at a point that some of that information could be lost in that operational rotation of the logs. But all in all, we are talking about business applications, and a lot of bad things could happen. So in closing of this slide, I wanted to remind everyone that we are talking about business applications. And a lot of these applications fall under a lot of controls, IT controls, regulatory controls. We are mandated to secure financial information, personal information, control who can access to perform different type of business operations. So it's important to understand that if these systems were vulnerable and potentially compromised, some of these systems could have been, are actually under the scope of SOX, HIPAA, NERC, GDPR, all of these privacy regulations that are popping up all over. So it's important for us to be able to provide specific levels of assurance of what happened on the system. So now I'm going to pass it over to Paige to provide some of their learnings and insights on this.
Thank you so much, JP. So to start off, from the intelligence that we've gathered about this specific vulnerability and its exploitation in the wild, I wanted to step through what some of the targeted industries that we've seen and some information about the threat actors that are exploiting these vulnerabilities. So we've seen a variety of industries that have been targeted in the exploitation of this vulnerability, including energy and utilities, manufacturing, media, entertainment, and oil and gas. Keep in mind that these are only the industries that we've seen through Mandiant Engage investigations. Onapsis Intelligence has also supplemented the fact that they have seen additional exploitation in non-US government, pharmaceuticals, as well as, I believe, having to do with manufacturing. But one additional industry as well, JP, feel free to chime in if you remember what that one was. But this essentially just says that this exploitation of this vulnerability is widespread. It's going to span all sorts of different industries and therefore is something that should be taken seriously regardless of the industry that your company falls under. We also see a pivot in attacker tactics since the public release. So as JP mentioned, originally the attacker profile that was exploiting this vulnerability was much more advanced. We believe that the first initial exploitation of this vulnerability was likely by an advanced threat actor. But since the popularization and the vulnerability being made public, we're seeing much more opportunistic threat actors. Mandiant has also seen things such as access to these systems being sold on the dark web. And so that would also go along with these opportunistic actors as well, seeing this post on the dark web from a more advanced threat actor and taking advantage of that by buying that access as well. I also see, slide stated all Mandiant investigations related to the vulnerability have been based in the U.S. Does this mean that only U.S. companies are under attack? And no, to answer your question, Alex, this does not mean that it's only U.S. companies under attack. This is just the Mandiant investigations that we have responded to. Onapsis Intelligence has provided us with information that other countries are also being targeted by this as well. So this is just providing perspective on our specific expertise. But we know that this is mass exploited across countries, across the world, across industries.
Yeah, and just to complement on that page, we have seen this in pharma, oil and gas. We have seen this in retail. So we also believe this is broad in terms of the affected industries.
Yes, thank you. So some real-world observations of this particular exploit. Our threat intelligence identified that actors are deploying a variety of web shells, so we've already kind of discussed this, that have impacted these NetWeaver customer instances. The particular malware families that we're seeing are AntsWord as well as JSPKit. And we're seeing that threat actors are actually establishing persistence by uploading additional web shells through existing web shells. So using that web shell as a first point of entry and also as a cover for the commands or the different operations that they're running through that existing web shell. So that provides some coverage and some ability to not have those commands logged by using that web shell as a front. We're also seeing threat actors establishing persistence using NCAT for bash access and the additional backdoors such as Go Reverse, which is a reverse shell. One other thing that we've seen is Try Cloudflare, a particular tunnel that is being used down to pull additional utilities, including RMM agents. So something to keep in mind that, you know, as we've seen as a increasing pattern in different attacks lately has been the use of completely, benign in normal instances, but malicious in this case, but things such as Screen Connect, TeamViewer, et cetera. So we've actually seen the use of these RMM agents being deployed on these systems by attackers as an additional means of persistence. And on the right-hand side here, you can see that we have that helper.jsp. That's a malicious web shell being used to wget a git. In this case, we're looking at that additional JSP web shell. So some investigative guidance. We would recommend scanning for the presence of web shells in those SAP directories. That has already been known to be used as additional guidance. So on the right-hand side, we have some examples of those HET paths, file system paths, and log entries that you could search for. In particular, looking for anything with that JSP Java or class extension, that is going to be a automatic indicator of compromise there. We also want to review server logs for anomalous requested JSP, Java, or class files. As mentioned earlier, this does not just include those post requests, that's also going to include get and head. And we're also looking not only for those anomalous requests to JSP, Java, or class files, but also anything that contains that initial command execution. As I mentioned in the last slide, once we have the establishment of a certain shell, or you know, whether it be a web shell, reverse shell, any sort of malware deployment that could conceal those communications or conceal those commands, we lose visibility, but that initial contact to the system should be visible in web logs. So something to look for that. Also using intelligence to monitor network traffic for communications with identified malicious C2 domains and IP addresses. So leaning on your intelligence there and looking out for any known bad indicators of compromise IPs and domains that are used by these attackers. Granted, we understand that IPs and domains are definitely ephemeral markers, but especially for those opportunistic attackers, it could be that initial intrusion point or that initial detection that allows you to detect this attack. With that, I'll pass it back to JP for a discussion on the open source tools developed to detect this attack.
Awesome. Thanks, Paige. Yes, and just to provide some complement information in the web shells, what we've seen and incident responders have been observing is these cache.jsp, helper.jsp, but also combination of names on these shells. So technically what happened on SAP is that attackers have been deploying on a specific directory that is accessible over the web. And once the web shell is accessed, the JSP, SAP will generate some specific files, the .class, the .java, equivalent files to be able to compile and run that shell. So those are also indicators, the .class, .java, some specific naming conventions on files that SAP also provided in their documentation that are helpful to identify if those web shells were deployed as well. Well, we developed tools to be able to help defenders identify what happened on systems. In this case, we developed two tools, open source tools. One of them was developed in collaboration with Mandiant. This compromise assessment tool is basically a tool that you can download. It's open source, and you can run against the image of a compromised system. You can mount an operating system of a potentially affected system, and you can identify known malicious indicators, and you can search the system to extract information, data that could be relevant for that investigation. Check if the system is vulnerable in the first place by analyzing the deployed components. So it's a very comprehensive tool that was released to help incident responders being able to assess and capture data from those SAP applications. And this is something you can download and use for sure. You need to be able to access that image or those files from that SAP application. And the second Paige, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, JP. I just wanted to contribute here that Mandiant has actually used this tool in some of our own investigations and recommended to customers as well to check for vulnerabilities or any evidence of exploitation. So this is something that we have used and have tested out in the wild as well, and that we also endorse.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paige. Yes, and for all of you listening to this webinar, if you are in the middle of an investigation or you have doubts about this and you're going to be kicking off an investigation, you can use it, right? Feel free to download it and provide feedback as well. And the second tool is Scanner. Instead of analyzing the files of the system, this is remote black box. It's sending requests to the system. It needs to be able to connect to the system. You don't need to provide credentials, just the IP address, the port, and it scans for the presence of the vulnerability in the first place, but also it scans for the presence of known web shells. So those web shells can be accessed remotely, and it's basically proving those two things. So if you have direct network access to the system, you can use this tool. But if you have access to the files themselves, to the file system, you can use the other tool to extract IOCs and kick off your investigation on this CVE. All right, so in terms of recommendations and next steps, and I see we are a little bit running out of time, so I'm going to speed things up. We divided this in four steps. First, understand your attack surface, right? Understand what are the systems that you have that could be vulnerable to this, could have been affected by this. And in some cases, we heard about people saying, hey, I from the IT security team, I wasn't even aware these systems were there. So, which is not uncommon. We know that SAP customers run in most cases, such a huge SAP landscapes that in some cases it's hard to keep up with the systems that are there, QA, dev, sandbox, production, different line of businesses. So first, identify the systems that could have been affected by this. Second and third is close the gap. If you're running on 7.50, apply those patch levels to prevent exploitation of this vulnerability. And if you're not, or if you're not able to apply the patch, go ahead and apply one of the mitigations that SAP also provided and documented in the knowledge base note that we're gonna be discussing also. And last but not least, do a compromise assessment, right? So if one of those systems could have been exposed, could have been exploited by this, you need to do a compromise assessment. You need to make sure that system is safe to be operating with, right? You can use the open source tools, you can engage with an incident response firm like Mandiant, or you can use your own resources. Whatever you choose to do, go ahead and make sure that you have the level of assurance that system is safe to be running an operation. In terms of our customers and our solutions, we as an organization provide solutions to automate vulnerability assessment, continuous monitoring, threat intelligence on SAP applications, and we have been protecting our customers as well, releasing in the Threat Intel Center. If you're a customer and you have Threat Intel Center, you can see the news about this, you can see details. You can see a consolidated information of what systems are vulnerable, and what systems you have applied the mitigations, which ones you have applied the patch, and you can also see the alerts if some of those systems have been exploited with these vulnerabilities. So modules 1059, 1060, 1061 allow you to identify IOCs, if the system is vulnerable, and known and unknown web shells. So a lot of data and support to our customers. Just wanted to touch base on this. If you're a customer, I'm sure you heard from us in the past couple of days, but anyways, you have coverage on the platform. And I didn't want to also leave this without touching base on the official references from SAP. One is the security note, the patch that was released out of band, not on that patch Tuesday that we are all used to, sub release and out of band because of the criticality of these on April 24th. It includes all the patch levels. Go ahead and check if you need to apply the patch. There's good documentation there. There's also an FAQ. Today it has over 22 questions there. It's all of these three notes are updated periodically. The security note on May 1st and the other two on May 5th. So very recently, FAQs for this vulnerability and some guidance for basic evaluation. And the other knowledge base article note, it includes all of the workarounds. So if you cannot apply the patch, take a look at this and at least apply one of the workarounds, which involve basically not being able to access the vulnerable component, right? So removing access through the ICM or undeploying the application or removing the alias to prevent anyone being able to use it. So many different workarounds. I'm not going to get into the details of that. You have very good documentation there. Paige, over to you on the recommendations here.
So a lot of this we've touched on already with the different topics that we've gone over between both JP and I, but this is essentially a primer of what Mandiant has done in our investigations as far as incident response for this vulnerability goes. So first off, identifying that scope, determining if there is any web shells present in your SAP directories, and even prior to this, determining whether or not you're vulnerable to that particular vulnerability is really important. Then from there, reviewing server logs for anomalous requests to JSP files or suspicious command execution patterns. So once again, get, head, and post are all means of that exploitation. So looking at all three of those methods, looking at commands spawning from JSTART or fork helper, and then finally looking for any common reconnaissance commands used by attackers such as who am I, uname-a, or ls-la. Also making sure that you're monitoring your network. So once again, we talked about looking for those known C2 domains and IP addresses, blocking those IP addresses at the network perimeter, and then also monitoring for anomalous user activity and access. And then finally, as far as containment goes, isolating the affected systems, disabling that vulnerable module, and considering credential resets for any accounts accessible from or via the compromised SAP system. So these are all of the different steps that we've been taking as far as our incident response process goes and remediation as well. We'd recommend all of these as well as the ones that were touched on previously by JP as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Paige. All right. And just to close on some resources, we have been maintaining a very detailed blog post. You have the URL here or the link, but if you go to our blog, you'll see it there. We updated it today. We kept updating it pretty much daily with the anything we learn about this and updates to the notes and anything that is happening related to this, so we can help defenders with arming them with all of the information that is out there, filtering all the noise, right? If going back to the point that there is a lot of fake POCs and fake information, a lot of AI generated misinformation. So we clean all of that and combine the useful and actionable information in our blog post. Of course, check the SAP official notes there. CISA added to the KEV recently, so there's a reference there to that. Also, the two open source tools that you can use, feel free to download them. And if you can provide feedback on that, would be great. And if you need additional help, feel free to contact us, both Mandiant and Onapsis, Mandiant at investigations@mandiant.com and Onapsis at connect@onapsis.com. We're here to help and happy to help any affected organization as needed. And with that, I think we can open up for questions.
Yeah, thanks, JP. Thanks, Paige. This has been a really great session, and we're getting definitely a lot of interesting questions coming through. So let me just quickly start with one right here. Someone asks, are there any particular differences between an exploitation via head, post, or get request, or do they ultimately lead to the same thing?
But yeah, good question. No, the only difference is the verb. So they all lead and are processed by the same functionality. So it's all the same, just changing the verb, the HTTP verb.
Great. Another attendee asks, you know, this seems to be another recent announcement of exploitation attempts against particular SAP systems. It seems like there's a lot of news. Why do we think that there are some incidents increasing in frequency? Is there anything that we're seeing either through, you know, the Onapsis research or from like Google and Mandiant's research out there?
I can take this question. As far as the intelligence about, you know, general ERP compromise, but SAP in particular, I would say that there isn't any particular pattern as far as SAP goes, but overall just a larger change in industry for threat actors targeting these particular kinds of systems. So, you know, we've seen a lot of these edge system compromises, we're seeing ERP system compromises, and that's simply because a lot of times there will be lower levels of protections or different kinds of protections. Attackers are realizing that these systems may not have the EDR tools or things like that that they've become used to on other critical systems, but they contain a wealth of information. As JP mentioned, with, you know, all of the different protections that often fall under this kind of data, accounting data, health data, PII, PCI, all of those different things, they're kind of a treasure trove for attackers. So I would say that this is more a broader theme of attackers searching for these less common systems, less common in the sense of they're not going to be your typical file server, things like that, but they are extremely valuable in the information that they hold. And as multiple people, it seems, in these questions have mentioned, a lot of times they also have less protections, less logging. And that's why having increased protections, and I know that Onapsis has a great product for those protections, is really, really important on these kinds of valuable systems.
That's great. Another question comes through saying, you know, how are we able to determine the underlying vulnerability? I saw that, you know, it was originally, the impact was file upload, and now it's remote command execution. Could you speak a little bit about how you know the details of this and sort of some information, a little bit about any reconstruction you might have done, if you can share?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we are not going to be sharing a lot of technical details. What we can say is, like, we were able to identify the exploitation because of our capabilities to understand what threat actors do, and we have seen threat actors targeting these applications in that way with a RCE and not a local file inclusion. So what we can say is this is an RCE. It's important to consider as an hypothesis for the defenders to do the incident response, and it's also important to apply those patches and those mitigations, right? Whatever you can do, if it's a patch, even better. If it's a mitigation, then that's better than nothing. So go and react to this vulnerability to close the gap in the first place, but then understand if there was exposure and if there is risk, some additional risk there. But from a reaction perspective, apply the patch, apply the mitigations, whatever you can implement and your teams can react to, but then also ensure that those systems were not compromised and you don't have any remaining risk.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it seems like the big takeaway is make sure all your vulnerable systems are patched. And it really seems like SAP kind of responded very, very quickly, considering, and it seemed like it was just about a two-day turnaround, JP, you know, more or less, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that was a very quick response from public information or information in the public to patch available. Absolutely.
There's another question here specifically speaking to some workarounds. And a person asks, in certain SAP Java systems, they've noticed that a workaround sometimes reverts and the system potentially becomes vulnerable again. Have we seen this? Or, you know, to me this sounds like it might be just patch it, but any recommendations or thoughts there to either of you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Depending on how you implement those workarounds, yeah, there could be some side effects. So as always, the recommendation is make sure you apply the patch. If you cannot apply the patch and the system is not being used, in that component is not being used, they undeploy the component. It's probably the easiest and most effective approach. Then there are some alternatives, removing the alias, changing some things on the system. Some of those could be better than others, but go ahead and if you need to prioritize patch, removing the component second, and then explore some of the workarounds.
That's great. Well, that seems to be about it for the questions that I see here. So, Leah, would like to take us home.
Thank you so much. This has been a great discussion. For any other questions in the chat that we didn't get to, we'll be reaching out to you individually to get those answered. And just a quick reminder to everyone listening that this session has been recorded and the link to the recording will be emailed to you. With that, thanks again to Paige, JP, and David, and everyone who joined the session, and have a great day.
Thank you all. Have a good one.
Thank you.